Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsythe. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
Do you know my Jesus? Oh, thank you so much for that special music. Thank you for the beautiful piano music. Thank you for the congregational singing this morning. I don't know about you. I usually get up here when Pastor is away. By the way, be in prayer for him. Him and Diana are down in North Carolina visiting family. I told him, I said, we're just miles from you. On the teen trip this past weekend or whatever. But I made it back last night. He didn't. No, I jest with that. He needs a little bit of time to get away, spend some time with family and all that. But My heart is overflowing this morning. I'm excited to be here. Are you excited to be here? Usually I'm nervous to get up here. I'm really excited this morning. And you're saying, why? Because you have such a great sermon prepared? No, I'd say it's probably just the opposite. I'm running on just a little bit of sleep. And my wife would say probably a little bit of concussion. I don't know. I never went and got checked out, but David Heisman met me last night down in Stanton, picked up his girls or whatever. He goes, how are you doing? I said, well, and his girls already said, his head is hurting. Well, it's what happens when you decide to do a 3-on-3 basketball tournament and the teenagers don't have enough. So they say, hey, how about you, Dad? You're 49. You're not quite 50. You can still join us. And you think that you're still 16 and you join them. And I don't really know what happened when I went down, but I do know that when I went down and hit my back of my head against that cinder block wall in that gymnasium, I saw some stars. And I don't remember much for a little bit. I just know that Luke was very intense and he's going, Dad, do you want a replacement? Do you want somebody to sub in? And I'm thinking in my mind, do we have a sub? Do I remember my message for tomorrow? Can I get these teenagers back from North Carolina to Virginia? All of these things are running through my mind when your head's sort of spinning. It's a weird, weird place to be. So if I fall over, okay, you just know it's all right. You know, he had a concussion. There's some brain damage. Oh, you already knew that about me, right? There's brain damage. He's a youth pastor. He's done it for 25 years. Something's got to be wrong with him. Yes, amen to that, right? It's good to see you here this morning. As I looked around, as I told you, my heart is rejoicing this morning. As we sang different songs, the Lord squeezes my heart and tears come out here, whatever. How blessed we are as Americans. How much we have. How that if we were like Job, and the Lord took it all away one day, would we still consider ourselves blessed people? I think I can say yes. I don't want him to take it all away. I love my family. I love the things that I have. I love the people and the friends that I have. If the Lord began to pull those things back, I would be disappointed, but I still think I could say, blessed be the name of the Lord, as the choir sang this morning. Hey, I'm thankful for the people that are visiting with us this morning. Some of you are fairly new to People's Baptist Church, and I keep on saying, just keep coming back. Thank you so much. And you've heard Pastor Forsythe speak, and you keep coming back. You're going to hear me speak this morning. I hope you come back next Sunday. Hey, good to see each one of you here. It's good to have friends from Canada. I don't think we've ever met before, but this is Wayne and Wendy from Ontario. Is that right? Ontario, yes. And they came all the way from Canada just to visit with us this morning. I like people like Wayne and Wendy. They sit up here close to the front. They look like they're really involved in the service. They probably feel like People's Baptist Church is an extension of their church home back home. They were already telling me about their home church and everything. Good to have each one of you with us this morning. And I trust that you do consider yourself a blessed person. If you did walk in here and you're feeling down in the dumps and you didn't feel that wonderful crisp air this morning and the beautiful, the leaves in the air smell, I hope you're encouraged by this morning's service. Okay? I do. You are in Luke chapter 19 this morning. I do feel bad for a couple of our junior church kids. They were looking around, and they know to be looking up at Pastor Jay, because somebody is going to be picked for a quiet seat prize right when we get down to junior church. And I saw a smile over there and a smile really back over there, like, I'm paying attention. I'm watching Pastor Jay. Am I going to get the quiet seat prize? And they didn't know I'm not going to be down there. So somebody's going to still get the quiet seat prize, but they did a lot of effort to get that prize or whatever. Hey, maybe you ought to be smiling. Maybe we'll hand out a quiet seat prize up here. All right, there's Les in the back. He's ready for it, okay? He's raising his hand. He wants to be noticed this morning. Maybe we should appoint Kevin Klein to hand out the quiet seat prize for the adults this morning, okay? If you don't fall asleep, if you pay attention during the message, Kevin might just give you a reward afterwards, okay? We don't know what the reward is, do we? No. Okay. Good to see each one of you here. You are in Luke chapter 19, and we are verses 1 through 10 here this morning. I didn't really plan it this way. I didn't know it was going to land this way, but last week in junior church, we talked about a wee little man, okay, that met Jesus. And I tell you what, junior churchers, kids inspire me. They really do. They really do catch a lot more than what you think they catch, okay? And they are really paying attention. I know the man named Zacchaeus, the wee little man that we sing the song about or whatever, it's a very familiar passage. And I don't want you to just say, well, it's familiar. I'm going to not pay attention, okay? I want you to think about this person that met Jesus. You know, Les and Ashley sang up here, "Do you know my Jesus?" And this man in this passage was asking that question, who is this Jesus? I want to know him. I am disappointed with all of my life, all of my wealth that I have, all of my possessions, all of the fame. Everybody knows me. Some people hate me. All those things or whatever. I have it all. And I'm still so, so empty inside. In fact, he even had a very poor reputation in the community. He was known as a publican. And publicans were not, they were not revered. They were looked down upon because of their profession, what they did. I asked our junior church kids as we read down through verses 1 through 10 last week, I said, some of you catch what might be the key thing in this passage, okay? The key thing. There was one person that found relief when he met Jesus Christ, but there was a lot of people that day that were not like Zacchaeus. Notice if you catch this. Okay, as I asked for a raise of hand, I did get a first answer. I got a first answer from a Shemeco boy, okay? And he caught it. And he said, Pastor Jay, I think it is this. I want you as adults to see if you're as smart, okay, as Sebastian, okay? You've heard that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader or something like that? Are you as smart as Sebastian this morning? He caught it. I trust that you catch it this morning as well as we're reading down through the passage. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Boy, I have that underlined in my Bible. By the way, that didn't help him, just being rich. And in verse 3, it says, he sought to see Jesus. Do you know my Jesus, as was sung? He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. ABC, CNN, NBC were all there. No, that's not the ones we're talking about this morning. It was the large crowd of people that were there, gathered there, okay? And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. By the way, I don't know. Are you appreciative of the way God made you? It points out the way God made him. And he becomes a key figure because of the way God made him. Are you thankful? Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. He called him by name. By the way, Jesus knows your name this morning. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Ooh, would we like a guest like that today in our house? And he said, make haste, come down. And he made haste and came down, verse 6, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Everybody looked down on Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything by any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And then, of course, we get the theme of the book of Luke and what Jesus Christ's true purpose was here on this earth. Verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning asking that you will work in our hearts. Lord, if there is a Zacchaeus in the midst this morning, no, not because of their stature, not because of the fact that they're rich, but because they need Jesus this morning. Lord, if there's one in the midst that needs Jesus, Lord, help them to find Jesus this morning through the pages of your scripture, the beautiful and glorious gospel that points all of us to a wonderful Savior that's willing to take away all of our sin and to be able to make us cleansed and ready for a perfect place called heaven. Lord, I pray today that in all of our hearts, we might be like our wonderful Savior. When we call ourselves Christians, we're calling ourselves Christ-like. Help us to be Christ-like. Help us to take up the burden that you had, and that was to seek and to save that which were lost. Lord, help us this morning. We need your power. We need your strength. Lord, you know I need you to be able to speak forth your words. Lord, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you begun to think about, I'm not going to call on anybody to answer out loud, but have you thought about what was it? What was it that Sebastian got? He said, wait a second. There is something here. Most of us would say, well, the key thing about this whole passage is a man, a wee little man named Zacchaeus. And the fact that he was rich and he was short and that he had to climb a sycamore tree to be able to see Jesus Christ, that's the whole theme, right? Well, actually, the whole theme about this passage was the aspect that there were lost and there were found. We're going to look at a couple paradoxes today in this passage, talking about what was the key to what made this story great and why Zacchaeus found such great relief and could say that joy truly did come to his house that day. Sebastian got it. It was down in verse 7. It was the crowd that was murmuring. Remember the press that was there? The people that were gathering around Jesus so much that Zacchaeus felt like he couldn't actually be able to see Jesus personally and up close and be able to possibly find out more about this man named Jesus. Notice what the crowd said about this man named Zacchaeus. They didn't have a great thought about him. It says, and when they saw it, remember, Jesus Christ said, come, I want to go to your house today. Come, I want to spend some time with you. I know you by name. I saw you in a tree. By the way, Jesus Christ didn't have to have anybody tell him a little man is in that tree. You'll find in just a second that that was the whole purpose of why Jesus Christ was coming through that area. Most of people would probably say, well, he was coming through that area to be able to talk to the crowds and the masses. And yes, they were hearing, but most were not receiving. You say, what did Sebastian get? Well, verse 7 says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You know what? They saw a need and a problem of somebody else. But here's what Sebastian said. They didn't see themselves as needing Jesus Christ. He said, hey, he said, I think I know the answer. I think I know the answer. All of us are sinners. All of us need Jesus. Most people think that in this passage, Zacchaeus was the only one that needed Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ knew that a lot of people were not going to accept what he had. You know, today sitting in this crowd this morning, you might be here. And you might hear the glorious plan of the gospel. And you might walk out of here completely unchanged. You might say, well, it's for somebody else. I know somebody that's worse than I am. I'm a pretty good person. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, I went to Sunday school and I got all of those pins and badges and everything like that. I memorized all these verses. There was a time that I was baptized one time. You know, all of those are good things, but that is not what makes any one of us saved and on our way to heaven. There has to become a time and a place and a point where all of us see ourselves as a sinner. I want to beg that you think about this man named Zacchaeus. I want you to really think about a person that Jesus Christ was seeking out on that day. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ had sort of made his way through Samaria, an area that usually Jews don't go through. He's now entering into Jericho. Remember what is about to transpire. 3 or more years there, he has been on his earthly ministry. And now he knows, and he has already told them in the prior chapter, he says, my life, my time, disciples, is coming to a close. I'm going to the cross. They are going to proclaim me as king. They want me to be there in Jerusalem very soon. But then they're going to reject me. They're going to crucify me. And on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. And his disciples said pretty much, no, that's not going to happen. Not on our watch. We're going to protect you. We're going to help you. This can't be. We want to spend more time with you. But Jesus Christ knew, I have just a few more hours. Who shall I minister to today? And on his way out of Samaria into Jericho, he is going down these streets and he's saying, there's somebody that needs me. Was it the crowd? Was it the press? Was it the masses of people? Now, obviously, they heard him speak, but most of them were rejecting. They saw his miracles and some, the Bible tells us, believed. But a lot of people said, no, we just want to see another thing. We just want to understand who you are and what we don't get you. And you know what? The world today doesn't get Jesus Christ. Not in their natural sense. All of us were born sinners. We don't get Jesus Christ. We don't understand why he came until we realize, wait a second, I am a sinner in need of a savior. And there's only one person that can help me, and his name is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've met him yet, but if you haven't, you can be like this man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, if we were to roll back a little bit, we would talk about the fact that he really was a lost person and that he knew it. You think about it. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. He didn't work for the IRS. He worked for the RRS. The Roman Revenue Service, okay? And the Romans had said, you're going to collect taxes and dues and fees and everything from all these people. And then, of course, you have to make your living on top of it. So you are allowed to collect a little bit more as a tax collector. Of course, it tells us that Zacchaeus was the toppity top, okay? And he didn't get there by just being a really nice and honest tax collector that everybody loved. But he made his way to the top because of some means that probably weren't so good. He even goes on to tell us a little bit later that he is actually going to give back some if he did it unjustly, basically. There were some things in his own life he knew were not right. Now, the people, the crowd, all the people around him said, he's a sinner. And they said that pretty much rightly. He knew about his own self. Now, of course, he had it all. By the way, there's a lot of people in America that have it all. And they're just like Zacchaeus. You and I need to be able to go and seek out those people that are wondering, is there something else? Zacchaeus had it all. He had a wonderful place. He had friends, but he didn't have too many of those friends. Maybe those people that wanted his money were his friends. But he was a lonely guy. The Bible really doesn't tell us much about his family or if he had a family. I'm sure if he had a wife or he had a kids that probably they were despised as well. When his wife went to the market, she could buy up anything she wanted. But they're like, oh, there goes that lady. You know, and probably she was a little bit despised as well. He was tired of it. As he sat in his beautiful house and he had all of his money, and he says, I've got to the toppity top. Where else can I go? He probably thought to himself, I'm so, so, so empty. I need something. There's a void inside of me. As a publican, he couldn't go into their religious system. The religious Jews said, no publicans, okay? By the way, Jesus Christ, over in Luke chapter 5, met a man that was a publican named Levi, okay? And he says, come and follow me. And Levi really did. He left everything. He came and followed Jesus Christ. And we see other places here in Luke, if you study out Luke, that you find that there's some publicans that said, wow, I'm pretty empty as well. Zacchaeus was one of those people that he says, I'm empty on the inside. I need something more. I just don't want to get up and do another day of what I do. I have it all, and what I have is not satisfying. I think I've got to the top, and I'm very, very disappointed about what's at the top. You know how many people in America really do pursue the American dream, the hard work? By the way, there's nothing wrong with hard work. By the way, there's nothing wrong with having goods. If the Lord has blessed you with goods, praise the Lord for it, and make sure that you do the proper thing with your goods. Our goods are to live and to be able to give as well. If we hoard and hoard and hoard, we become empty people. But there's a lot of Americans, they now have it all and they get to the top and they're like, this is sort of pointless. I'm empty. I'm hurting on the inside. There's this big void inside of me. And what do the people do? They try to fill it with drugs and alcohol. They try to fill it with all kinds of wrong and immoral stuff and find that that doesn't help. They try to fill it with anything that this world has to offer, and they're still left empty. You know how many people get to the top of it all and commit suicide because they're empty inside? And they wish somebody like you or me would actually stop them, talk to them, pray with them, tell them that there is hope beyond what all this world has to offer. Jesus Christ, here a Savior seeks the lost. He sought out a man. Now, Zacchaeus thought on that day that he was seeking out Jesus Christ, but actually Jesus Christ was seeking out this man named Zacchaeus. You know what? Honestly, God is doing that for all of us. You say, well, I just want to find God. Well, actually, there is something that is tugging at your heart because God is seeking you out. The fact is, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, was it Adam and Eve that sought out God? No, they knew that they were now sinners. They went and hid, and God said, Adam, where art thou? I'm seeking you out. I want to have that relationship restored with you. What happened, Adam? He's like, we did wrong. We sinned. We transgressed your law. You only had one law. Do not eat. And we ate. And now we know that we're sinners. Oh, God sought them out. Jesus Christ was seeking out Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus thought that he was seeking out the Savior that day. Fact is, there's another paradox. A man became a child. If you look down at verse 2 through verse 4, it says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans." Okay? "And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature." And it says, "And he ran before." He ran before the crowd to get to a good spot to be able to climb in a tree, be able to see this man named Jesus as he was going to pass by. And you say, well, why does the man become a child? Back in that society, men that have had any importance did not run. It was improper for them to run. Many a times, even that we see in the scriptures or whatever, when a person that actually had any age to them, any importance to them, they would pull up their garments and they would run or whatever, and you're saying, wow, there's something different about this, okay? Zacchaeus said, you know what? Forget all of the protocol. Forget all the formalities. This is important to me today. I don't care what people think. I'm going to run to a place where I can see Jesus. I really wonder, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder, the person that would collect taxes in that area and that area surrounding or whatever, wouldn't he have to know most people? Jesus Christ has had an earthly ministry and he has passed through this way time and time before. Zacchaeus, has he ever run into Jesus Christ before? Has he ever wondered who is this man before? Finally, he's saying, wait a second, it's been too long. I need something. I need to find out more about this person. My thought is a person that collects taxes pretty much knows everybody because they know where to get the money. They probably know you almost by name kind of thing. Oh, yes, that person, I can twist his arm a little bit. He's easy to get money out of, and I'll become a little bit richer. I'll become a little bit wealthier. They're gullible. I can tell them that Rome wants this much, and they will never know that Rome didn't really want that much. Zacchaeus knew most people. I'm just wondering if he's like, wait a second. I've heard about this man named Jesus. I've heard about what he can do. He can heal blind. By the way, we see that in the very last portion of scripture there. He has just went through and healed a blind man named Bartimaeus. Okay? He's helped people physically. He's helped people with all kinds of other needs. He probably had that longing in his heart and said, I just wonder if he couldn't help me today. You know what? I wonder so much about it that I'm willing to run. I'm willing to be like a child. I'm willing to not care what people think anymore about me. He did. He became like a child. He got to a tree. Grown men don't climb trees, right? Not most. Curiosity got the best of him. He goes, I want to see this man named Jesus. By the way, in our next little paradox, he thought he was finding Jesus, but the seeking person became found. The fact is, as we look at the passage, in verse 4, it says he ran. Verse 5, it says when Jesus came to the place, obviously the place where Zacchaeus was, he looked up. You say, who told Jesus that Zacchaeus was up in the tree? I mean, this is a crowd. It was sort of like that question long ago. Who touched me? Okay? And his disciples said, well, Jesus, it's ridiculous. There's all kinds of people in the crowd. They're pressing in against you. And you ask the question, who touched you? And he says, no, somebody touched my garment. It's sort of like that in this passage here. Jesus Christ is looking throughout the crowd. He's telling people. He's walking with the people. He's teaching the people. And all of a sudden, he stops because there's one person he needs to speak to. I really believe that his whole purpose of going through Jericho was for one man. A one man named Zacchaeus. The person that was so burdened, he says, I got to seek Jesus out. And Jesus is going, oh, I'm one step ahead of you. I am seeking you out. Who told him that he was up in that tree? Why did Jesus look up? Well, the Son of God that knows everything. Can you imagine as he woke up that morning and he says to himself, today is going to be a good day. I'm going to meet a person that everybody knows is a sinner. I'm going to meet a person that people are going to condemn me for even being around. But it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a joyous day. It's going to be one of those days that is life-changing. And truly it was. Jesus stopped. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus. Oh. Can we just pause right there? And think about the fact that Jesus Christ knew his name. He didn't say, hey, who are you? Hey, what you doing in that tree? He looked up and he says, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus' heart that day, I'm sure, probably jumped, maybe skipped, maybe thought about the fact, he knows me. I mean, little old me, he knows me. I came seeking for him, just be able to get a glimpse, just be able to hear a little bit of what he said, and maybe what a little bit of he said would rub off on me, or maybe he would tell me something good that maybe I could change myself and not be the empty, shallow person that I am, that everybody hates. But no, all of a sudden he said, Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus said, he knows me. How does he know me? Zacchaeus, let's pull back those curtains of eternity. He created you, Zacchaeus. He gave you that name. By the way, Zacchaeus' name means righteous one. He hadn't been living up to his name for a long time. That's not what people thought of him. When they saw Zacchaeus and they said, Zacchaeus, righteous one? Ha! Yeah, right. He's not so righteous. He is the absolute opposite of it. No. Jesus Christ said, righteous one, I want to come to your house today. I often thought as a little kid, and maybe it's because of an artist depiction or just the way it was described or whatever, that Jesus went and had a meal with him. If you really begin to look at the pages of Scripture and the background behind it, he really says, I want to come and abide with you. Oh, abide is not just a meal. Abide means I want to come and spend a little bit of time with you. I want to sit down and we take our shoes off and we talk and we discuss life and We talk about everything that's going on in your life. And you know what? After we're done talking, you say, won't you stay a little while longer? And Jesus Christ said, yeah, it's been good. I'll stay a little bit longer. And then Zacchaeus eventually says, would you like to just, it's getting late. Would you like to just stay here tonight? You and your disciples, I got a big house. It's, nobody comes over here. I got plenty of rooms. Y'all can all crash at my place tonight, okay? That's basically what Jesus Christ was saying. I want to come to your house. I want to spend some time with you. I want to abide with you. By the way, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a wonderful aspect where he wants to abide with you. Sweet fellowship with your Lord and Savior. Do you come and wake up each morning or whatever, abiding, spending time with him? He wants to meet you. If you didn't meet him this morning, he probably said, boy, I was right there waiting for you. Don't you want to talk? Don't you want a fellowship? He says, Zacchaeus, come down. He goes, I'd like to go to your house today. I'd like to abide with you. Notice what the Bible says about Zacchaeus, okay? Verse 6 says, and he slowly came down out of the tree. He made haste, my friends, and came down and received him joyfully. Commentators have often debated, when did Zacchaeus get saved? Obviously, Jesus Christ later on says, I've come, I've abided with you. This day, salvation has come to your house. By the way, that's far-reaching. If he had a wife and he had kids and he had relatives and stuff like that or whatever, the change that was made in Zacchaeus' life was so big that it impacted his whole family. And Jesus Christ said, the house, okay? Not the structure, but your house, your family is going to receive me. That's a wonderful thing. But commentators have often questioned, when did Zacchaeus get saved? Some people said he trusted Christ as his Savior. He received the Savior and his invitation right there in that tree. In the aspect of he didn't want to wait any longer. He could tell this person knows me by name. This person cares about me. This person, he's about ready to have fellowship with me. I accept that. You know, the fact is, we often say that we come to know Jesus Christ because we say a simple little prayer. By the way, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's your personal acceptance of Jesus Christ. And you communicate those words back to him saying, Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I can't do anything to save myself. I've tried. I've worked. I've done all these things. I even tried to give of my finances and stuff like that. And Lord, you don't need anything. You just simply want me. And so I give myself to you. Zacchaeus, on that day, it says he made haste to come down. Was that the point of his conversion? Might have been. He might have just simply come down and said, I receive you. Oh, I want to spend time with you. Come on back to my place. Let's talk. Let's chat. Let's fellowship together. Oh, he knew that there was a void inside of him. And this person that knew him by name wanted to have a relationship with him. You know what? Jesus Christ healed many of their physical needs. He really brought a lot of poor people up and helped them and things like that or whatever. But here is a very different thing. Jesus Christ is coming to a person that's rich and needs nothing, so to speak, in this world's goods. Jesus Christ was condemned for it because he says, don't you know that you're going to a place for a man that is a sinner? Now, some commentators would say, if you would think about the aspect of the fact that he received Jesus Christ in the tree, he accepted his invitation that Jesus Christ said to come. When these people are now murmuring within themselves going, he goes to eat with a sinner, they're wrong. He wasn't a sinner no more. He had received Christ at that point. They were the people still in need of a Savior. But you know what? Most of them, they didn't know that they needed a Savior. They weren't empty enough. They were still mixed, wrapped up in their own good works and everything. And they pointed fingers at somebody else. You know what? Human nature always likes to point fingers at somebody else and said, I'm not as bad as they are. I haven't done what they have done. And in our own human righteousness, we try to lift ourselves up saying that we're pretty good. Until we come to the pages of Scripture and we find out that there is none righteous. No, not one. Not even one. All of our righteousnesses, the scripture says, are as filthy rags before a holy, righteous God. Zacchaeus says, I'm completely empty. I have all the world's goods. I need something. And finally, this person, this man named Jesus, called me by name. And he says, won't you come? Won't you come down out of that tree? Can we have a little bit of fellowship together? Truly, he did go that day. A small man. He was known as the small man in the scriptures, a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. The small man becomes a big man. You say, how did he become a big man? Well, in God's eyes, any of us that are willing to come to him in repentance, as a child, remember it's childlike faith, he says, you become much bigger in my sight. If you're willing to lay aside pride and come to the Savior in humility, you become big in God's eyes. This little man became big. Notice what this big little man now does. He proves that what Jesus Christ did in his life and his heart that day was real and genuine. Now don't name anybody, but have you ever met a Christian that you're going, I don't think they're real. I don't think they're genuine. They name the name of Christ. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Now, don't name anybody, but I think all of our minds know of somebody that says big things about being a Christian, but their life doesn't match up with it. Zacchaeus was just the opposite. His life began to completely change and match up with what he had said. Here's what it says, okay? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, it wasn't because he was trying to impress him. He says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Pause right there for just a second. You know what your net worth would be. Every one of us, some college students in here are saying, my net worth is this much. If I can rub two pennies together, I praise the Lord, okay? Some of you know that your net worth, well, you have a house and you got a couple cars and you got this and you got some investments. And, you know, if you had to liquidate everything, you could come up with a dollar amount, okay? Some of us, it might be smaller. Some of it might be larger. But wherever you're out at, okay, think about what value you have to the things that you have. And then think about taking that and cutting it in half, okay? Half of my goods I give to the poor. Zacchaeus earned money, collected money, brought in money from all different kinds of means. Some of them were probably decent means. Some of them were dishonest means, okay? He probably, once he had got his honest money, he put it into investments and various things like that or whatever, and his money grew, and he had great wealth. But think about it. If he had to, that day, liquidate everything he had, just cut it in half and say, Lord, I'm just going to give half of my goods to the poor. He did that. Now, I don't know that day whether he sold his house or we had enough investments. He had cattle. He had this. He had that or whatever, where he sold off all kinds of things and started giving away. But his talk, it really did match up with his walk. And his walk matched up with his talk. And everybody said, wow, there's something different about this person. Then he goes a step further. He says, if I have done anything, let's look at the verse right there, okay? By false accusations, the latter part of verse 8. He says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, a very dishonest way, I restore to him fourfold. By the way, the Old Testament scriptures had three ways of repayment if you had stolen something or whatever. And guess what Zacchaeus did? He knew that the highest form was fourfold. He says, I'm not going to go with number one. I'm not going to go with number two. I'm going to prove I mean business. And I'm going to go with the highest punishment for a person that has taken things wrongfully. And I am willing to restore fourfold. And his talk really did match up with his walk. And his walk matched up with his talk. And he did that. And truly, Jesus Christ said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much also as the Son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, today, I challenge you, was the fact in knowing his life or whatever, he knew that he was that lost person. You say, what did our junior churches learn last week? The fact is, there was a lot of people in the crowd that day that didn't receive the same forgiveness that Zacchaeus found. All because they were pointing fingers at Zacchaeus saying, he's a sinner. When they didn't realize, wait a second, I am the one in need of Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. And you know what? This was a closing chapter in Jesus Christ's life before he goes to the cross. It really is. The crowd missed their opportunity. Later on, if they understand and they realize what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary, they have that opportunity to do what that Nicodemus did on that day. But here, Jesus Christ said, I've come to seek and to save that which were lost. They just didn't know that they were lost. They didn't know that they were in need of a Savior. They did not realize what joy came to his house. You know what? He started the morning with sadness. He ended the day with great joy. What a wonderful thing. How about you, my friend? You're here today. Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you point fingers at other people and say, well, they're a bad sinner, but I'm pretty good. By the way, your righteousnesses, when you stand before a holy, righteous God, is not going to mount to anything. And God's going to have to say, depart from me, ye that work goodness. No, he says, work iniquity. Oh, my. Are you like Zacchaeus and said, you know what? Christ has come into my life. Christ has made my life different. There's joy in my life because of what the Savior has done for me. By the way, take it personally. He knows your name just like he knows Zacchaeus' name. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. We ask for your blessings and your guidance upon this day. Lord, we know that Zacchaeus found the Savior that day. Lord, if there's one here that has never trusted you as their personal Savior, Lord, help them to say, I need that. There's something that is missing in my life. Oh, Lord, we do ask for each one of us that do know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior to be like the Master, to truly seek the lost. Help us to look for people along our way. Just like Jesus Christ was looking for one more to be able to make a difference in. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much for the great privilege of being able to tell people about the glorious gospel today. In Jesus' name.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.